Well, this will start the second part of this lesson. Nehushtan, the misplaced serpent. And I want to offer my testimony of how God brought me out of the snake handling doctrine, out of this movement. First, I want to share with you a Lexington Herald Leader article that I read a few days ago. It says this: Kentucky female serpent handler dies after snake bite during church service. London, Kentucky. A woman who was bitten by a snake at a church that neighbors say practices serpent handling died of her wounds hours later, a newspaper reported. I hope this is not offensive. It's in the Lexington Herald Leader. I'm just reading it to you. Linda Long, 48, was bitten Sunday at East London Holiness Church, where neighbors said the reptiles are handled as part of a religious services. The Lexington Herald Leader reported Tuesday. Long died at University of Kentucky Medical Center about 4 hours after being bitten, authorities told the newspaper. She said she was bitten by a snake at her church, said Lieutenant Ed Sizemore of the Laurel County Sheriff's Office. Handling reptiles as part of religious services is illegal in Kentucky. Snake handling is a misdemeanor and punishable by a $50 to $100 fine. Police said that they had not received any reports of snake handling at that church. Snake handling is based on a passage in the Bible that says a sign of a true believer is the power to take up serpents without being harmed. Church officials could not be reached for comment. I just wanted to read that to you. It's an article about the snake bite death of Linda Long, who died on November 5th, 2006. 177 words, 10 lines. That's all they gave her. You see, I'd been thinking about putting this lesson together for a year or two now. And when I read and heard about the death of this precious lady, I knew that I had to do something and do it quickly while it was still fresh on the hearts and minds of all the people. I didn't know her real well, but I knew her well enough to know she was a very kind and loving woman. I know the husband that she left behind. He was my favorite snake handling preacher, bar none. He was really a diamond in the rough. Have you ever met somebody that you just wanted to be around all the time? Well, that was him. And I have to say now that I love him with a deep, godly love. I'm praying for him. I heard rumor, I hope it's not true, that criminal charges may be pressed against him. To think about that man actually ending up in jail is heartbreaking, so I certainly hope not. Sister Long left a precious daughter behind. And I haven't seen her in a long time, but she was a very, very good singer, one of the best, a very humble young lady. She's perhaps one of the most modest, godly, and devoted young ladies that I have ever met. I remember Sister Linda's son, a funny, funny young man. He could make you laugh until you cried. You couldn't laugh anymore. And I felt like they were a wonderful family. But now a wife of over 20 years, maybe 30 years, a mother and a friend of scores is dead. How did she die? Did she die of cancer? Did she die from a car wreck? Did she die on the mission field? Did she die at the hands of a ruthless thief? No. She got killed in church. A place that's supposed to be a sanctuary ended up being the most dangerous place on earth. A place of peace and safety ended up being a place of danger and chaos. A pastor, and I say this boldly, and you can take this right to him. A pastor that was supposed to protect the sheep allowed a rattlesnake to be brought in his church. And it's him that's responsible for the death of this wonderful lady. Her blood is going to be on his hands. I couldn't help but think of another young man that I love very dear, a young man that I went to the hospital to visit after a rattlesnake bit him on the forehead. His head was swollen up so bad he was unrecognizable. You could barely see his eyes, little slits in his ears. You could barely see his ears because his head was swollen so bad. And though he could have easily died, he lived And I'm going to be so honest with you, I'm glad that he did. I love him so much. He's got a special place in my heart. And the reason I'm telling you all of this is because it made me think real hard about the past. And I couldn't help but think, that could have been me. That could have been me dying. You see, there was a time that I too was consumed in this doctrine of death. There was a time that I stood in the very same church that Sister Linda died in, and I teased God. I tempted death by taking a rattlesnake by the head, entirely engulfing his head within my right hand. I could have died that night. I could have been admitted in the hospital suffering from a snake bite. I could have missed out on marrying my precious wife. I could have missed out on having my two daughters and the son that my wife and I are expecting at this very moment. I could have never seen God's miracle mission, the greatest church on the planet. All the many blessings that I could have lost because I was visiting one of the most dangerous places on earth, a snake handling church. I could have died that night. I'm glad that God had mercy on me and spared my foolish soul. I was saved at the age of 18. It was a rough and rocky road at first, but I loved the Lord deeply and I wanted His will in my life. I didn't understand anything about the Bible, but I began reading it for hours every day. Some of the young men that I was friends with, they went to a snake handling church in Berea, Kentucky. And I didn't know any better to start going to it, and so I started going there. And the best that I can remember, it was really the first place, the first altar that I ever knelt down to talk to the Lord. I'd prayed other places, but really that was the first place that I'd really done real serious business with God. And snake handling wasn't really something new to me, though. I was familiar with snake handlers and snake handling churches because my granny Carpenter, my mom's mother, she had never handled snakes, but she claimed to believe in it. And I can remember her talking about it at times. I can also remember her sitting in her chair, crying and weeping about the love of God and how Jesus died on the cross to save us, and she made a huge impact upon me. I miss her terribly bad. I really, to be honest with you, I didn't take advantage of her godliness like I should have. And if she were alive today, I think that I would visit her more frequently than what I did when I was a stone-cold sinner and didn't really care about anything but myself. But she had very little education, and she couldn't read the very best, but she tried. And I don't mean to be cruel, but she really didn't have any sound Bible teachers around to show her sound doctrine. And I'm not justifying her, but she only held to what she had been taught by preachers that came to the churches she frequented. And I can remember asking her about snake handling, and she would tell me that she had no desire to do it, but thought that it was God's will. So there were times that my grandmother would tell me about it. On the other hand, I've got a great uncle who was a fervent snake handler. He too is a very humble and kind man that I love dearly. As far as I know, he doesn't partake in it now. I guess he still believes in it, but there was a time that he was a well-known snake handler throughout the snake handling movement. Before his first wife died, I can remember going to his house and seeing pictures of snake handlers with huge rattlesnakes dangling from their necks and their hands up on the wall. And I have to be honest with you, it was very eerie, very strange. With that said, my mother told me that she thought it was tempting God. She never really encouraged me to get into snake handling, but in one sense, she didn't push me away from it because she would always tell me that she didn't think that it was right to speak against it because it could be of God and, you know, kind of so-so about it. So I kind of kept my mouth shut about the subject. Now, I didn't stay at that snake handling church for very long. I soon got the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and I started preaching in the Holy Ghost and nothing churches that my mom had took me to as a child. They pretty much don't believe in having a home church. They don't believe in Sunday school. They don't really believe in having a pastor, no authority over you. So I went from one church to another church, you know, just back and forth like an old stray dog, looking for somebody to poison me, and I finally did. I got poisoned going from church to church. The thing about it was, I started preaching old-time wholeness and separation from the world. I began preaching against the cosmetics and adornments that many of the church people had started picking up. I preached about modesty, and I preached about abstaining from worldly places and worldly atmospheres. Now, I guess as a young man, I thought everyone would love me. Everybody would be glad that I was preaching old-time standards, but they weren't. Now, I don't want to mislead you, because I deserved much of the rejection that I felt, as I'll be the first one to tell you. I didn't always preach it with the right spirit. There are times that I was very harsh and very mean-spirited. There are times that I hurt people by handling the Word of God haphazardly. Nevertheless, I felt rejected and realized that I didn't fit in with anyone. Then came the snake handlers. They were kind, they were loving, and they pulled me in. And they were friends to me, and I'll be honest, I loved it. I loved it. They would sporadically visit the churches I was at, and I'd become friends with some of them. They invited me to come to their churches, and so I did. Now, I want you to understand that I've been to many Pentecostal churches. So I was accustomed to shouting. I was accustomed to dancing and loud music, but nothing like their churches. Nearly every singer that sang was like the best singer I'd ever heard. I mean, you've never heard singing until you've heard the singing in a snake handling church. You know, we had shouting, we had dancing, but in the snake handling churches, you'd see 75, 80, 90 shouting at one time. Quite amazing. You want to talk about holiness? Them guys didn't chew bubble gum, didn't drink soda pop, they didn't believe in anything. So I thought I'd found a good match. Time went by, and I gradually got a reputation as being a snake handler, even though I had never touched one. Many of the people in my mother's church, they're the Holy Ghost Nutting churches, they began shunning me. They would corner me and ask me what I believed and if I was handling snakes. And I'd weasel my way through conversation after conversation, telling them anything and everything but the truth. And so I started getting angry about it all. I wasn't a snake handler, but I was suffering the same reproach because of my association with them. And so this began to play up on my mind. And I started thinking that I might as well just go handle a snake myself so the reproach that I was getting would at least be justified. In the meantime, I began to see things that bothered me. You see, I've always been an observant person, and I soon started noticing some of them doing things that weren't particularly in alignment with what the Bible taught. Now, I want to interject right here before I go any further that some of the finest people I've ever met belong to those churches, which presents me with another valid reason to do what I'm doing with these lessons. They're kind, loving, wonderful people who are sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. And I hope and pray that ignorance befriends them in the judgment. I don't know how that's going to work between them and God, but I will say that I love them. And there's some kind, good, honest people in those churches. Not all, but nearly every girl I dated was so loose and so careless with their chastity, I had to end relationship after relationship. I began to see homosexuals prophesying in their pulpits. They allowed lesbians to play their instruments. They were allowing double married preachers to preach. And I was constantly hearing of accounts of sexual misconduct, ranging from homosexuality, fornication, to adultery. Now, I know there are hypocrites in every church and in every denomination. But I wasn't used to young men having sex with their girlfriends one day and the very next day be in church preaching and handling snakes. And the saints and those that were around shouting and hooping and hollering and dancing while they sang and you know, things like that. It was just, I wasn't used to that. I wasn't used to that. I think probably what disturbed me the worst, though, was I started paying more attention and noticing that preaching was very low on their priority list. They didn't believe in using notes, and when they preached, it became very obvious that the reason they didn't use notes was because they didn't believe in studying either. Services basically consisted of 2 hours of singing, shouting, snake handling, and about 15, 20 minutes of the worst preaching imaginable, and then another hour of singing. There were a couple of preachers that were better than others, but 98% of them were pathetically shallow. You can only preach about the 3 Hebrew boys and Daniel in the lion's den so many times. Somewhere down the line, you've got to feed the sheep something more than milky bologna sandwich messages. The main topic of many of their preachers was how it's God's will to handle snakes. Now, please, I don't want you to take me wrong here. I'm not trying to make fun. But if you took out all the thank gods, hallelujahs, come on good childrens, my lords, amens, thank God for Jesus's, and I feel that getting on me, boys. If you took those out, there'd be about 5 minutes of preaching, about a teaspoonful of the gospel. And in the vast majority of the services, they had no idea who would preach, if anyone was going to preach at all. One would ask the other, you got something, brother? No, I don't got anything. You got something, brother? No, I don't have anything. And this goes on until someone finally says, thank God, boys, I've got a little scripture on my heart here. And normally, that's about right. It was nothing more than a little scripture, coupled with a whole lot of nothing. This became ever more clear when I noticed that they didn't have one single foreign missionary. They didn't have one single full-time pastor on a salary. Not one single full-time evangelist in their churches. They hardly took up an offering for a preacher, and many of their churches didn't know the difference between a necktie and paying their tithes. I noticed that there wasn't a great premium on teaching God's Word either. Most churches had no Sunday school program or any kind of Bible studies whatsoever. And if they did, they couldn't get nobody to show up. Many of them were teaching a Holy Ghost or nothing doctrine. I mean, there's so many false doctrines in those churches. It's very clear why such a ridiculous practice, such as taking a snake to church and handling it, became so prominent amongst those people. They were sheep without shepherds. They've got nobody to teach them the gospel. They got nobody to preach the truth to them. The truth to them is you can take up snakes. That's the volume of their theology. You can handle snakes. Thank God the Holy Ghost will come on you and you can speak in tongues. And the people are dying naturally and spiritually. So I guess at this point I probably should have ran out of those churches, but I didn't. Because I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who to turn to. I stayed and I ended up in a world of trouble. I remember a certain weekend I decided to go to a homecoming service in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I don't know why, but I began praying, Lord, I know that I pray as much as they do. I know that I live as good as them and better than a lot of them. Yet they're always talking about this great anointing that moves on to handle snakes. And Lord, I want to feel that anointing. And I began to pray that prayer. I did. I'm not sure of what happened exactly, but one night while they were handling snakes, they brought me a large rattlesnake and I handled it. Now, when I say I handled it, I mean that I held it in my hand for like 5-10 seconds. Now, I'm not sure of the snake's exact dimensions because I blacked out. And for a little side note right here, to reinforce the fact that the snake handlers really don't care about doctrine, the snake that I handled belonged to a famous snake handler named Pumpkin Brown, who was a Jesus-only preacher, and I'm pretty sure he was the guy that gave his wife the snake that bit her and she died. But they were in there handling snakes with all the Jesus-only, and I ended up handling that snake. Now, I couldn't see. I couldn't see anything or anyone around me. I could still hear, but I couldn't see. It blacked out. And so I handed it back to the guy that had given it to me, and I came back to myself. I instantly knew that I had made one of the worst, if not the worst, mistake in my entire life. And I got very sick, physically sick. I almost vomited. And I immediately went outside. I walked around to the side of the church, and I thought to myself, now you've done it. You're in trouble now. Because I knew that I only had two choices. Number one, I either leave the snake handling church and say that I had allowed a bad spirit to move on me, or number two, go with the flow and become a full-fledged snake handler. So I caved in under the peer pressure and decided to go all out. I only had two other snake handling experiences. As I previously stated, I took a rattlesnake by the head once and stroked a copperhead down his back once. And this period lasted for about a month and a half. And I want you to know that I never really fit in. Even after handling snakes, I didn't fit in. I couldn't get settled with the way things were going. I couldn't feel comfortable with everything that was going on around me. I truly believe that God was simply shielding me from the horrid cycle that nearly all snake handlers fall into and never get out of. I had a burning passion to preach God's Word, but preaching to most of those people was like preaching to a brick wall. I felt pressured to handle snakes, and I felt pressured to preach about snake handling, and how was God's divine will for the church to do so? I mean, several snake handlers still revel in the fact that they have me on a preaching tape talking about how God moved on me to handle a snake and how God showed me that it was right and got me on videotape. And I remember seeing the videotape. There was somebody standing in front of me, so you don't actually see me handling this snake. Thank God for that. Or it'd probably be on who knows what, on television somewhere. And so they revel in the fact that they had me on a preaching tape, talking about how it was God that moved on me. Well, it wasn't right, and I wasn't right either. I was terribly out of God's will. The only thing that I had going for me was an honest heart that greatly desired to be in God's will. I did some very stupid things, but through time, I came away from the snake handling movement. And when I came out the only way that I knew how, with guns blasting. I look back now and I realize that God let down His edge and allowed a bad spirit to take my mind. But it was by my own request. Now, I don't feel like I was possessed, but I was definitely moved on by a bad spirit. It took my mind and I handled that snake. But just to be honest, I was the one that had asked God to let me handle a snake in the first place. He just simply allowed me to do so. I had asked Him for a King Saul, and He gave it to me. I have thanked Him a million times, for protecting me through my ignorance and keeping me from getting bit. Coming away from the snake handling church was the smartest thing that I could have possibly done. I would have never went anywhere in God while I was still among those churches and that doctrine. I'd have never preached anywhere. I sure wouldn't be a full-time pastor now. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now had I stayed in the snake handling churches. As a matter of fact, I'd probably backslid right now, drinking and in a bar somewhere. I hope and pray that a snake handler is listening to me right now. Please, give this insanity up. Find you a church that preaches against it. A church that will teach you. A church that will preach to your children and tell them something with some substance. Snake handling isn't scriptural. And I believe that I've proven that in my previous lesson. It isn't logical, and common sense should tell you that. But I guess the thing that I want to tell you the most is that it could be you that dies next. It could be your child who is fatherless. It could be your wife that is widowed. You say, well, God will protect me if I only move when He says to. But I've been around it enough to know that everyone is moved on by God. I mean, that is, until they swell up and die. I want you to listen to me carefully. I want to say that again. You say, Brother Lamb, God will take care of me if I wait upon Him and I move when He tells me to. But I have been around it enough to know that everyone says they are moved on by God. That is, until they swell up or die. I saw my uncle do his little dance, and his face went pale, like he always did when he drank the strychnine, handled the fire, and handled hundreds of other snakes, including the ones that they say went limp as a dish rag. But I also saw him stick his hand in his pocket and disappear from the church. I went to visit him after the service and found that his arm was swollen up because somewhere between the pale face and the dance, the copperhead bit him on the arm. I'm certain that he would have said that he was anointed had he not been bitten. I'm certain that he felt the same thing that day as he had 100 times before. But sooner or later, that spirit fails everyone. And I'm not sure, but I think had our precious sister not been bitten and died, it would have went down on record that she too had been moved on by God to handle that snake in London. Well, maybe you think, well, I just won't do it myself, but I'll take my babies around it and teach them that it's right. But what's going to stop them from handling snakes? And when they die, brother, when they die, sister, you're going to be responsible. Listen to me. If we die, let us die on the foreign mission field, telling people that Christ can empower them to live above sin and shun hell's eternal fire. If we're going to die, let us die handling the gospel of Jesus Christ, not a stupid rattlesnake someone found on a mountainside somewhere. I remember reading the newspaper article about the preacher there in Rose Hill, Virginia, that got bit and died a few years ago. His last statement that they recorded, the newspaper recorded, was, I was born a snake handler, and I'll die a snake handler. That's the spirit of the snake handling movement. But when I die, brothers and sisters, I want to say that I was born a Christian, and I'll die a Christian. May God bless you.